We Like Dota is brought to you with the generous support of our patrons. Patrons like The Old Raven, Ninja Skelts, Samson Magnuson, RX Cowbell, Surreal, CBX, Mr. Fancy Pants, Beandot, Monster, Icebug, Spenguin, Titus Andromedan, Dank, Zinason, Dully Kauschef, Paul Turner, Jeff Peterson, Digital Nick, Edge, Javier Lato Play, and Wisp. If you'd like to join this list of patrons, head over to WeLikeDota.com and follow the links to the Patreon. We Like Dota, episode 294, starts now. Welcome to We Like Dota. This is your host today, Jim, and I am joined by Charlene.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Internet. Hello, Arian, off in the wilderness of Germany. And hello, Sam, who aren't, these people aren't here. I'm just shouting them out. Hello, Sam, who is at home with Bebe.
Yes, hello.
And all our beautiful listeners. Hello.
Yeah. Do listeners count as Internet?
Yes.
That's how I always delivered that.
I mean, everyone is Internet. I'm just giving special shout-outs to subsects of the Internet.
Okay, that's fair. Yes, definitely shout out to Sam with his baby. Mm-hmm. Best of luck. I have so much empathy and sympathy for him. mine are more grown up, and babies are hard. They're wonderful and beautiful, but they're hard. So, speaking of babies, mine went on vacation this last week.
Oh.
Their aunt's house. We quarantined for 2 weeks and headed out, and my wife and kids headed out to the aunt's house. I got a new job, so I was not able to go, which meant I played a lot of Dota this week.
Love it.
Yeah, my wife, when she came home, she's like, you know, we obviously debriefed on all the stuff that happened in their lives, which was interesting. I went to the post office once. That was the extent of my interesting week. And she's like, oh, did you play a lot of Dota? I was like, well, there's nothing else to do at night. I was just sitting here with the dog. Dog sat behind me. I played, Charlene, 35 games of Dota in 1 week.
Wow. Wowzers. Yeah. That's incredible, Jim. Were they all evenly spaced or, like, even, that's 5 games a day?
Yeah, it was about 6 because it was like 6 days.
Okay. Wow. So
about 6 games a day. Yeah. I feel like a kid.
Were they all pick games or turbo games?
Some were turbo.
But mostly all pick or like pretty 50-50? Yeah,
there's probably like 27, 28 all pick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It was fun. I really enjoyed it.
What are some standout games for you?
All right. Yeah, they're all like running together. I lost a lot of games on Quap because I had a triple in my cavern and I just kept losing. Mm. And so I had this like heart to heart with Bela on Discord about how I can't win with Quap. He's a 25th level Quap.
Mm-hmm.
Still didn't win. But yeah, I think it's best. Bela. So yeah, I had 2 games with Bela that stood out. They were probably 2 of the most fun games I've played in a long time. The first was on Wednesday, and so we get in. It's me, Baylucht, Arian. Who else is in this game? Neil and Nick, Uranium Heart. Arian's on Sniper, and I'm playing Ogre Magi, which was another theme throughout my 35 games. And I'm like, all right, well, Baylock took Crystal Maiden mid, because he does. And my job is just to stand behind the sniper and bloodlust him and stun the Ricky that was coming after him.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever the Ricky showed up, just dust and stun him. And I was doing that, and it was working okay. And Arian got 19 kills and 500-something last hits, I see. He was ready. And we take 1 lane of Rax. I think we were like losing pretty early on in the game, but we came back. And we're taking the 2nd lane of Rax. We're pushing up, maybe a little too far. And Crystal Maiden gets killed like on the edge of their base, and he says, and this is Bay, he says, I think I just threw. We're like, no, don't worry, you'll be back in, 75 seconds or whatever. The wave's up at the tower. He's like, no, I gave them a rapier. We're like, you had a rapier.
Bea, no.
Yeah, it turns out, rapier crystal maiden's cool because of the talent. But then when you do your ult in their base, when your team is out of their base, it doesn't work. And so they're... Battle Fury PA now had a rapier. But we got it back. But then he had another rapier.
No!
Ricky had a rapier. There are three rapiers in this game. And at one point, Arian got Woodland Striders because it went so long, we got level 6 items.
Ooh. Wait, what does Woodland Striders even do?
Plus 50% movement speed, 60 HP regen, and they let you make that line of trees behind you when you're walking.
I've never seen this item, so this sounds fantastical to me.
It's pretty cool.
Okay.
and you also free path through trees.
Oh.
For 3 seconds.
So it's just like instant juking, or I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah, it's like instant juking.
Yeah.
And if you have a ogre magi who's following you around to bloodlust you, and you make a wall of trees behind you and then walk through it, your ogre magi cannot follow you, it turns out.
Okay.
That happened once, far away from a fight. It didn't actually impact anything. Then we had Nick had a fallen sky on Chen. Again, not ideal. Bea eventually farmed up a trident for his crystal maiden.
Ooh, that's the Sanshkaya Yasha?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so he was, he was very strong, but the other team also had three rapiers.
Right. So to be clear, there were three rapiers in the game, but two of them were from Bea?
One was from Bea at a critical moment in the game.
Okay.
The first was from Bea.
Yeah.
Which stopped our push pretty effectively. And then, obviously, creeps don't matter if you have a Rapier Battle Fury PA.
Right.
So we had to, win outright. But it was fun. It was cool. And, it was 70 minutes of our lives that none of us are getting back. And we all excoriated Bea for it. So I was going to call him out on the podcast. I guess I did. But... he redeemed himself, Charlene.
Redemption.
Yes. Everyone loves a redemption arc.
Yes.
We played another game with him a couple days later.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, after that debacle. And a bunch of us are going for our cavern stuff, and I have Brewmaster. So I'm going to do position 1 Brewmaster.
It works, though. Bay.
Yeah.
My Bay, not Bea, went on a stint of doing position 1 Brewmaster for a while.
Yeah, he inspired me to do it.
Yeah.
Because we all had played a game, and Bay was like, oh yeah, you could just right-click with him. You don't even have to use the ult. And I'm like, that works for me. And so I picked him. I had a double or a triple with Brewmaster. And I've actually played Brewmaster a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not useless during the ult.
Yeah. You like your micro heroes.
Yeah. So it was us. John from Shelved Games came and joined, and then it was Bob and Greg, and Bea took Clink's mid, and he's like, how is this hero different now? I'm like, oh, very. And then, so he had not played Clink's in a very long time, and he got destroyed mid, which is a rare event. This quap on the other team just, went... just snowballed as hard as I've seen a quap snowball. It was 20 kills by 30 minutes, no deaths. She was just running around killing absolutely everyone on the map. So we lost two lanes of racks, and we're defending high ground. And the whole time, Bea's like, it's not that bad, guys. It's not that bad. And so we had gone full circle. And we're like, oh my god, this game's unwinnable. And then we were just in the... Yeah, we got him right where we want him, man. Like, goofing off, joking approach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're like, yeah, we'll just do whatever you say, Bea. We got him. We're going to win this. And then Bob was playing Wraith King, and I got BKBs. And we got sufficiently high level. So I had the super crit damage talent on Brewmaster. And the Quap blinked in, and I hit my BKB, and then two-shotted her with these crits. It was like 1,500 damage, 1,400 damage, and she just died.
Nice.
And I got a lot of money.
And then you bought a rapier.
No, sadly. Ooh, I should have. But, and then the rest of their team, like, you know, we killed a couple of them. And we pushed out, we took a bunch of towers, and then they did it again. And the Quap couldn't kill the Brewmaster and the Wraith King anymore at that point, like once we had BKBs. And their Quap, who was 29-3 overall, died again. She blinked in, like, aggressively to get us. And it didn't work. And we were down 40-10 at one point. And we had lost two lanes of racks. And we came back and we won.
Wow.
We walked up mid. We hit our BKBs to hit the throne. So for the rest of the week, anytime we're in a losing game, we're like 40-10. Always remember.
I'm sorry, though. You said that this was a redemption story. So how did Bea redeem himself?
Oh, Bea, like, kept our spirits up, and he was like, okay, let's play over here, It's not that bad, guys, it's not that bad, don't give up.
Got it.
Yeah, we managed. Like, he split push and stuff, his clanks.
Yeah.
Kept, like, pressure off of our buildings, at times, but it was quite a game, and, we did it. So, 40-10, you can come back from anything. Like, this game was so desperate. I don't even know. Like, we had, let me see, at 40 minutes, we were down 25,000 gold.
Oh, my goodness.
And 34,000 experience.
Wow.
There was one team fight. Where was it? Over here, I think at 41 minutes, where Bob got 8,000 XP out of it. There was a later team fight where our team gained, like, 14,000 XP. These That's are these incredible. like final last minute turns when we got BKBs. But it was we were like cheering at the end as we took their.
Did you download that game to rewatch in the future?
I will do that right now.
Yeah, do it.
And there's parts of it, and then there was another clippable moment this week. We were playing in it didn't go well. And the other team was pushing our high ground. And Greg was on Ogre Magi. And he bought back. He was the only person left with buyback as they were, like, trying to farm our fountain. And he managed to buy back, run out, bloodlust the throne, and then die.
Perfect.
Yeah, so that's a moment I want to clip. Like, all the enemy heroes are right there. And he's Ogre Magi, so he's tanky. He survives just long enough to get within bloodlust range of the throne. Makes it big.
Big and red and pulsing. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
I was like, that was a pro move, Greg. But I will download the game now while we hear about your week.
Sure.
And how it made you feel.
I have also played a lot of Dota. I didn't have the foresight to have any of this open in front of me. I should probably do that. But I know I got to play a few games with you and Greg and Bob.
Yeah.
One, I think, with Arian. So got several community games in there. The ones I want to highlight are... one, I've been really warming up to Earthshaker. I keep picking the stun... two heroes at the same time at least 7 times in a game, the like contract thing for that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's so easy with Earthshaker, and it's just so satisfying too with I guess it's kind of akin to like Pudge Hook or Mirana Arrow. It's just like a skill shot that has a low enough cooldown that You throw it out, you miss it, it's whatever. But then the ones that land, you just feel so good. So that's how I feel about Fisher. Like, I always try to go for the block off and, you know, trapping them in. And every now and then, like, I'll stun them, but it won't quite block them off. But then when I am able to block them off, it just feels so good. It's that chef kiss emoticon.
Yeah.
So I'm getting over my anxiety of achieving the opposite and blocking off my own teammates, which is quite common, and I used to do that a lot, and it's why I would avoid playing Earthshaker. But getting over it and just like, no, you know, I'm only gonna get better with practice, and having a lot of fun with him.
That's great. What's your item build?
I go boots first, just so that I can actually get on them in lane and harass them with my W, my enchant totem. So I usually do go arcanes, and then depending on how I feel about like my gold influx, if I feel like I'll get it enough, I'll save up for that blink dagger. If I won't, then I'll get four staff.
Okay.
And then that's like my mobility item. And then once I get that, I go straight for eggs.
Nice. So do you get a blink dagger at some point anyway?
No. Because like once I get the eggs, that's more mobility than I'll need.
You're not helping, Charlene.
Sorry. I saw that conversation.
You knew where I was trying to go with this.
Like, it's also, like, sometimes you're in a game where there's, like, a Venomancer or something else that just, blink isn't always the best.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You guys are the Earthshaker players.
What I do love is his, is it 15 or 20? His talent for increasing Fisher range. That one feels so good. It's like plus 325, I think, like range on your Fisher.
Oh yeah.
So that with your eggs, like, is guaranteed being able to get on whoever you want.
Wow. Yeah, I guess I never looked at his talents. That seems like a big Fisher.
Mm-hmm. I apologize for the sirens in the background.
I didn't think it was your fault.
It's not, but I could have closed my window. Other than that, game I want to highlight is, I don't remember who I was playing, but I felt really good in helping you finally achieve your ogre match I win.
Yes, 6 and 18.
6 and 18.
Got it. Got it.
Do you remember who I was playing that game? Was I Tidehunter?
Yes.
Okay. I found it. Okay, so Bay has been on a Luna run recently. He is... It's hilarious because Luna's probably the second hero I learned ever in Dota. I learned Viper first, and then I learned Luna. And the reason for that is just because I like looked up how simple she is to like farm the jungle and get back into the game.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've sat on this information for forever, that she's just a farming beast. And Bay, I guess Luna has been getting picked as a little bit more of a flex for mid, and like Sumail has been playing her a lot in EG games. Or not EG games, sorry, OG games. Oh, so, yeah. Whoops. as carry. So he's like, yeah, maybe I'll try Luna out. And then he's just like, what? I have how many last hits at this time? Like, he's just floored at how fast she farms and how much damage she pumps out. And she, like, comes online so easy, but is also still, like, a serious contender for being a late-game carry. So he's been playing her a lot. And that game, I was Tidehunter, and Bay was playing his Luna. And there was one fight in particular where he was farming the enemy enemy jungle, and it was right by their shrine. So they like came in on one side, and then other people teleported into the shrine, and I was near enough that I kind of just waddled over on my Tidehunter and then saw that the person was TPing in, and Bay was panicking, and I was like, okay, like once they finish their TP, I'll blink Ravage. And I did that, and then Bay was able to eclipse and we killed them all, and it felt really good. And in the background, you were you were an Ogre Magi, and you finally got your win.
Yeah, I was bloodlusting Luna.
Yeah. Shout out to Trousers, Extravagant Trousers. Mr. Fancy Pants was also in that game. He played Death Prophet. I found it hilarious though, because sorry for calling you out on the pod. He wasn't the most comfortable on Death Prophet. He was like, like, do I go here now? What do I do? And like, there would be a few times where we're just like, no, don't do that. Come back. You do not want to be past that line. He's like, but I'm tanky. And we're like, you are, but not yet. but he got the hang of it, ended up carrying his own. He actually went 10-6, so highest kill score out of us. And
yeah, dude can play Death Prophet.
Yeah, dude can play Death Prophet.
All right. This was easy to find because it's the only Ogre match I won.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was bloodlusting, furiously bloodlusting your Tidehunter as well.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. The right-click Tide.
I did not go right-click Tide, but it still helps. No.
Yeah, I guess you get move speed from it, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell that was such a Bay game, too, because he was just, like, always on the other side of the map farming.
Yes.
No, it's like he just got his dream of like farming and pushing lanes by himself, and then showing up to fights when he had Eclipse.
Yep.
So good.
Yep. Okay.
So yeah, we gotta have the Earthshaker off between you and Greg at some point.
Oh. I imagine this would be such a great custom game if there's like a maze where like you run parallel mazes somehow, but you can fissure off the other person to I don't know how this would work at all.
No, I get it. You're right. You can make like a square shaped maze, but there's two courses through it.
Yeah.
And they don't like interact with each other and then have the fissures. Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's called like frustration. That's so good.
Because they have like a Mirana game where you have to like, or maybe it's not just Mirana. It's called Dota Run. I think Earthshaker and Pudge might be in those, but it's like you can either leap an arrow or you can hook or you can fissure. But I want just a fissure maze.
Just the one that keeps the other person from doing things.
Yes.
I like it. We should make that. We're not going to make it.
No, we're not.
We don't know how to do it. Yeah, that was a lot of Dota, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I played quite a few games with you and Bay.
We did.
It was good. I always feel like, because we were talking about this, because I think Greg and Bob, you mentioned, played. Like, when we play with our peers, we feel like we're playing Dota. But when we play with, like, you guys, it's like we're walking around waiting to get killed. It's like a different game. Like, it's so fast. And I'm like, and it's fun, right? Like, obviously, we keep queuing with you. But, like, Ogre was the perfect because, like, I just stand behind the Luna. I don't have to make decisions about anything.
Yeah.
And it was fun. But a lot of times, like, it is like, whoa. And you guys are super nice, so you're not like, Jim, don't be over there. But it's fun. It's like two different games, man.
I mean,
it's fun though.
You only died once in that game.
Yeah, because I was never on screen for the opponents.
Yeah, but imagine if you just played all your games like that. Well, I guess you usually carry, so you can't do that.
Terror Blade. I'm just going to hang out behind Bay. I'm just going to reflect anyone who goes on him. And sunder him to give him more HP.
Ooh.
New meta?
New meta.
Did we just come up with this?
I mean, this is fodder for some of our Noobs Ask Noobs questions later.
Five Terrorblade? Are we doing this?
Sure.
Yeah. Just Sunder. Mm-hmm. Sunder and stats. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's move on to the news. There's a lot of news.
Yeah.
As always, this is We Like Dota, so hats before strats.
Yes, please.
The Battle Level Bundle came out this weekend. Right when my wife was not around.
She couldn't rein you in.
Well done, Gaven.
Oh, you just got a new job. You can reward yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't have, any other hobbies that cost money. My other hobby is, volunteering to coach kids' sports.
Mm.
It doesn't cost anything.
Oh, but you don't buy them pizza?
Yeah, I guess we do at the end of the season, but that's, $50 every couple months.
That's one battle bundle, or more than one battle bundle.
Yeah, but they only let you buy one set of battle bundles every year anyway. So the Battle Level Bundle came out. It is by the time you're listening to this, and maybe by now, no, by the time you're listening to this, you'll not be able to purchase it. So FOMO,
mm-hmm.
But. Right? Isn't that what it
is? Okay. Just the emphasis that you have on saying that. I can see you saying that with a smirk and just I did it. I got to squeeze that phrase in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Heard the smirk coming out of that.
I did.
It's 100. Yeah. 120 battle pass levels. 9 times Immortal Treasure 1, 6 times Immortal Treasure 2, 3 times Immortal Treasure 3. We don't even know what's in 2 and 3 yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they just let you buy 2. You used to have to, trickily buy 2.
Yeah.
One through Steam and one through the client. But they're we know you're going to buy 2 now.
This was their plan all along, dude. This is reverse psychology at its height. They're oh, yeah, we'll always let them buy 2. And they're oh, but wait. What if we make it feel... they're cheating the system by buying 2, and then they get into the habit of buying 2, and eventually we'll just let them buy 2, and they'll always buy 2. Genius.
Last year was so good. Because, Gothier, posted the thing in our Discord, how to do it. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess I am.
Yeah.
So I did. And then, for a split second, you're like, ooh, I got one over on him. And then... that split second later, you're like, no, I think it went the other way.
Yep.
So I bought 2 without even looking to see what other stuff you got with it. I was like, I have so many Treasure 1s to open. Why? It's like, you just got 18. I was like, oh, I didn't even look. I'm like, yes, I'm buying it.
Question, did you even...
did not buy it.
I did what? Not, but I wanted to ask, did you even get any of the, ultra rare things?
Yeah, so that's a good question. The rates are a lot lower.
Mm-hmm.
In practice, I opened, I think, 40 of these things, or 41, after recycling and stuff. And I did not get the ultra rare Pudge Hook, which is fine because Pudge.
But on principle, but I only got,
yeah, I guess.
40 some treasures, and you still didn't open it.
Yeah, still no Pudge.
Yeah.
I just find I wouldn't use it anyway. I like my British Pudge. Then I got 2 Golden Nightstalker Claws.
Mm-hmm.
Again, which I don't like because it goes against this color scheme. The blue ones look so much better. And only 1 Golden Lifestealer Head.
Shame.
Yeah, last year I would have had... I still have, 4 and 5 of the gold stuff from Treasure World last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got 4 pucks, I think.
Okay.
The regular rare. Yeah, I have 4 of those. But they definitely, toned down the drop rates for the very rares. In practice, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm, worried that, I'm not going to get very rares from 2 or 3.
Right. It's okay.
But they might not be good anyway. But
you'll just have to buy more levels, get more treasures.
Yeah, I mean, what am I going to do? The one thing I noticed after the battle pass, though, is the best courier, like one of the absolute best couriers in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Bright Sky, the little kitten?
Yes.
The level 4 one with the ultimate orb?
I have to describe this for me.
He's like white and he's holding an ultimate orb and he's on a cloud, like a cel-shaded 2D cloud. Okay. After he's flying.
Uh-huh.
Apparently he's dead because he has a halo around him.
Oh.
Yeah, which is like a little grim, but like it's a little kitten flying around on a 2D cel-shaded cloud. It's the most adorable thing in the world. And it has little hearts falling off of it. It has, like, nothing to do with Ultimate Orb. I don't know why they did this, but...
At first, I thought it was going to be, like, the cat is, like, balancing on the Ultimate Orb, or like, it's, like, running on it to churn the cloud to fly.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, it's just, like, cute cat with hearts and then plus Ultimate Orb.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but... Like, it's flying around the little cloud. It's so adorable. It's my favorite. I use it.
It doesn't sound very Dota-y.
No, do you see it? Are you in the cloud?
No, I don't.
That's fine.
I'll check it out later.
Yeah. No, it doesn't sound Dota-y, right. Like, the cloud, like, stands out. Like, the others, yeah. Like, the... Maybe it's not... No, it's the Soul Booster. It's not the Ultimate Orb. I apologize. It wouldn't be like Dota if I didn't get the name of something wrong. Because I'm looking at the Ultimate Orb one now. The Ultimate Orb one is, like, glowing yellow... And, like, the Refresher Orb one has, like, a green circle around it. Like, he just cast Refresher Orb on himself.
Cute.
But the Soul Booster one has him, yeah, on a puffy cloud. Like, it comes out of nowhere, but it's better than the higher level ones, too.
Mm, okay.
Which is wild. So I'm very excited about that, and that made it all worthwhile.
All $60 gets you cute cat on a cloud.
Cute kitten on a cloud. And it's like two levels below where I am, too. So, like, I probably didn't even have to buy this to get this. Maybe even had it. But yeah. It's great. I'm excited about it. And I'm three levels away from Skeleton King.
Oh, nice.
So, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
I'll...
Go ahead. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You finish.
I'll probably end up getting up to the Windranger Arcana.
Really?
Anyway, yeah, like, if I look at my Battle Pass history, like, I don't think I spent that much on it in the last 2 years.
No.
And I hit 742 and 837.
Yeah, but this year, it's... like, despite what Arian says, I agree that it's not so ridiculous to be getting levels and stuff with the contracts and... the like guild challenges, like you will get things that way, but it's not nearly as much. And I don't know, I'm losing faith. I think I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, and I think probably part of it is just my own defense mechanism, because I, as you pointed out, I did not buy the battle level bundle.
Uh-huh.
At all, because I'm putting my foot down. I'm telling Valve no, I will not stand for this anymore. I am in Canada now, so it's not just $60. It's like $80,
oh,
I think.
Yeah.
And it just hurts. I'm not willing to shell out this much money for a game that when I started playing, I was like, oh, $10 for a compendium? And like I get all this cool stuff? Sure. And then now I'm up to like at least $100 a year minimum on compendium. And that's just... bonkers.
Yeah
that's fair.
I didn't think of the exchange rate.
No one ever does. That's why
Arian's like, it costs no money.
Yeah. Yeah, the powerful euro.
Yeah, I don't know, like, I feel like, well, one thing that's gonna be missing is like fantasy and all the compendium predictions and stuff.
That's very true. Yeah, and I actually used to get a fair, like, I'd get at least 5, like minimum 5, maybe up to 10 by doing those.
Yeah, you got like 10 levels from that, 15 from fantasy, because, I mean, we always get max on fantasy here. We like Dota. And just like other predictions and stuff, too. Like, and you get like 10 levels. Well, that might still exist by predicting the prize pool. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. I think you'll still get a lot of levels. Like the summer event will give a bunch, and I don't know.
I hope so. I wonder if there's
like I didn't plan to hit 8 whatever last time.
Yeah.
But like I just ended up there, so I feel like I'll just end up at 570 by the end.
Mm. Yeah. I wonder if they're gonna like because there's no TI marker this year. I wonder if they're gonna still be as strict about when the battle pass ends.
Yeah, they already moved it up a week because. Like all those problems.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
We shall see.
The protein seems weird without TI.
It does. It feels very weird. Like there's so many tournaments going on every week and
yeah.
I just don't even I don't know. It's just like, oh, there's another game. But it's not at the caliber of TI, so I'm not as hyped about it.
Yeah, like I watch it because it's fun right. And we like it, but I don't feel like it matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, segue to things that actually matter. There's yet more fallout in the Dota community.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Like when Arian and I recorded last week, it was just the tip of the iceberg. I did not expect like so much to come out of it.
Yeah, it's wild. Grant is out. He's totally done.
As is Toby now, which was a real shocker.
Yeah, I'd heard that he wasn't that cool. Like, it didn't surprise me at all.
Mm-hmm.
I sound like one of these weird insiders, like Arian or OG Ruby, who like know things about the scene, and I don't. But I just, for some reason, I thought like I'd heard that he was like not cool to women.
Oh, okay.
But he's out the game.
Yeah, Charlene. Like all of that, like the community stuff. Yes, I expected that. What I did not expect was Valve taking immediate action and like. It's such a subtle, minor thing, but in their own way, they are showing support. They removed all his chat wheel sounds.
Yes, is crazy. Yeah. I can't believe that happened.
Because like Toby is such a cornerstone of like the Dota 2 casting community.
Yeah.
The play was the play Toby. The from TI2?
Yeah, I think it was.
That was like probably one of the first esports moments that I ever like witnessed. And oh man, yeah.
Yeah, the play was him. Liquid are doing it was LD, right?
I think so. There is one. There's the classic voice crack.
Oh yeah.
Which one is that?
It's a disaster.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they got rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's out the game. That's wild. I don't know, like, why it seems so dramatic. I guess it's probably, like, your point that, like, Valve just never does anything. So the fact that they did something.
Yeah. At the same time, like, this is the bare minimum that they can be doing.
Oh, absolutely, because, right.
Like, as the institution... They have the biggest pull, and like at the moment, it's great that people are talking about it. It's great that these conversations are happening and that people are being emotional about everything and open and vulnerable. But at the end of the day, that is more of like the long-term shift in how it shapes people's understandings of what's okay. And in the short term, what needs to happen is just like policy changes and things that force people to abide by certain rules. And Valve is not doing that.
Yeah.
So, like, great that they did something. And I'm surprised that they did something. But be very, very nice if they could do a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, the esports, you know, we didn't hear about this stuff that much before now. But it always had the, like, Wild West kind of, like, everything's personal connections and, like, nothing's enforceable. Because you always heard that in terms of, like, players getting paid or people getting paid from organizers.
Right.
And it's like, oh, yeah, well, like, that's, it's such a small community. It's, like, so rife for abuse in those ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, all this stuff started coming out last week. And, you know, I myself feel like, oh, of course this is happening. Like, it's the same power dynamics that were, you know, informing the earlier problems that I had identified, but I just hadn't seen this. You know, if you have that small community where everything's, like, personal, you can just, you know, pick on people.
Right, yeah.
And much, much worse, which evidently was what was happening. But there are good guys, too.
There are.
Yeah, not, you know, not trying to make it about men, because there's women, too. Like, a lot of people have shown up and chimed in with really positive things.
Mm-hmm.
Kips wrote some stuff recently. She's been a big part of this. And Purge and Slacks. Purge, of course, did his video talking about it while playing a pub as techies.
Classic.
Yeah. And, like, in playing techies, like, infinitely better than I've ever played any hero. And it's not, and, you know, I know, like, Purge is not, like, a pro-level player, but, like, it was just very fitting.
Mm-hmm.
And Slacks had one where he was crying. Did you watch the Slacks video?
I did, yeah. And, I mean, kudos to him, because I think so many people do have that attitude of, like, things are uncomfortable, so I'm going to laugh it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a perfectly understandable reaction to have, because so many, like, it's all of time, right? Like, back to Shakespeare, comedies were tragic.
Right.
So, like, that's just how people process things and how we deal with them. But that doesn't excuse us or preclude us from still being able to acknowledge them and talk about it. So huge shout out to him for doing that. And I mean, his thesis was short and simple, which is, like, it's not hard to not be an asshole. And, like, that's just generally speaking, right? So, like, all these other things that you brought up, that you have a small community and people get picked on, like, so that's kind of the like, I don't want to say best case scenario. It's like the softest version of the abuse that can go on. And then you have on the other extreme, you know, people actually suffering really terrible situations and having some kind of recourse that damages them psychologically and more personally. So,
right,
it's not hard to be not an asshole.
Yeah. Kyle, too.
Yeah, Kyle, too.
That's kind of, like, left field, right? I don't know. Like, he has this, like, bro kind of persona.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's originally from the part of the country that I'm from. And then he wrote, like, a very thoughtful piece during all the kind of unrest that we had in America a couple weeks ago. And it's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wrote this thoughtful thing about all of this stuff, too. So, yeah, like, you'd think the kind of, like, frat bro aesthetic that he has and voice got put toward the good side. But there's lots of great things being said, you know, by women as well at this time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel weird, like, oh, there's good guys, right? And they all happen to be guys. But, I mean, I guess it's probably just also a function of Dota 2 being so you know, there's so many more male voices than female.
Yeah.
Also, short one. Red Eye. This is hot new news. Might be on his way out as well.
Yeah.
Not on account of any, you know, sexual harassment or assault or anything like that.
Just
but,
being an asshole.
Yeah, just being a real asshole.
Yeah.
some guy, James Banks.
James Banks. That's such a British name.
It's not like Jim Banks isn't as British as James Banks.
No.
Yeah, James Banks wrote this big long thing that I didn't read all of because it was long. Talk about how bad a person Red Eye is and how mm-hmm. he's hard to work with. And then Too Good, remember him?
Yes.
Like he kind of
2GD.
Like, yeah, he kind of gave a thumbs up to James Banks. And then Perrion Flax, another British person.
Mm-hmm.
I saw he was asked about, well, what do you think about the Red Eye situation? And he's like, long time coming. He's never heard of anything, you know, of a sexual harassment nature with him, but apparently he's just a horrible person to work with.
Yeah.
So maybe no more Red Eye.
Maybe.
But, so, like, yeah, go ahead.
But Red Eye came over from other esports, right? Like, he already has a standing, so I wonder if it'll just be within the Dota realm or more widespread.
I don't know.
Because I do know that like CSGO is also having like some Me Too movement as well.
Mm.
I don't know the specifics. I just like saw very briefly that they also have some stuff going on. So yeah, I'll reiterate what I said earlier. I just really hope some kind of like policy level changes occur or some kind of statement of we will not tolerate this. It doesn't even have to be a hard policy, just something, anything from actual organizations who have pull in directing the fate of this.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah,
and I think in esports this always gets to like the legendary esports economics discussion that Aaron and I are never actually going to record, but we always talk about, like, the companies that make the games have a really unique position
mm-hmm.
In esports. Like, they control everything. Like, they could just be like, no.
Right.
To any other player in the entire economy in a way that, like, the NBA can't with basketball or whatever. And so they have that opportunity to do that, and I think it could be interesting to see. Hopefully they do take your advice, Charlene. Because they can. They have the power,
right?
Essentially.
I guess we don't know, right, if something like that would work. Because it kind of veers on more of a totalitarian take where just the game maker can decide. I think it's worth a shot because we do pull so much of esports from traditional sports.
Right.
And I think it's worth exploring other options for things and not just always following a precedent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, if they're wielding their, you know, their total power to prevent sexual assault, I don't know who's going to go to the mat to oppose that. Like, there will be some. They're all in Reddit right now.
Yeah.
Oh boy, don't check the comments. But yeah, I think it'd be for the good.
Yeah.
The question is whether there's any.
Yeah.
And just generally, like, all these people, like you said, Toby was such a big part of, you know, the Dota scene that he factors into so many of our memories.
Mm-hmm.
And Red Eye, who for all his shortcomings, is a great host.
He is.
He does a great job. You know, it doesn't, I think some people might be unsure because so much is changing right now. I don't know if this is necessarily our listenership, so there's probably no point in me saying this, to the extent there's ever a point in me saying anything on here. But, like, those can still be part of our memories, and we can still recognize that these people shouldn't be doing this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I, for one, I'm willing to come out and say I thought Grant was funny. Mm. Like, I liked his humor. Like, not, you know, later Grant. Apparently early Grant was just really atrocious all the time.
Right.
Not just in private. I had only, like, learned about him recently, and I thought he was clever. Like, I liked his jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's terrible, and he's done horrible things, and he should not have any part of this, and that's fine. Like, it's not an attack on me if, you know, Grant is persona non grata now because he committed horrible crimes. Like, he did. Get him out.
Right.
Like, and so, you know, these people can still be part of our memories, and we can move forward to make it better. And it isn't an attack on Dota. It isn't an attack on us. It's just changes for the good, I think.
Yeah, it's just turning a light on that we have to be more aware that people are whole people who aren't just like who they are in front of the camera.
Right.
Or in front of whatever. We can't just take snapshots and look at that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to patch. There's going to be a patch soon.
Yeah.
let's hope this is good news, right? So we moved from hats in the battle level bundle,
mm-hmm.
which for me is good news, I guess. I enjoyed clicking through 151 things unlocked.
Yeah.
To the serious Me Too stuff, which was serious, but hopefully, you know, we'll move to a positive future.
Mm-hmm.
And now on to the great uncertainty of the upcoming patch. Everybody's sick of this patch. We all hate it.
Yep.
And they said in a couple weeks that there was 2 weeks ago, they said in a couple weeks there's going to be a new patch.
Right.
Looking at economy and stuff like that, not hero changes. So you and I, Charlene, we're here to make some predictions. We're here to let Valve know what to change.
Aha.
Because we know they're listening.
Yes.
Because it hasn't come out yet. Like, yeah, okay. My client is still not out of date yet, so. Charlene, what is your first patch prediction?
My first patch prediction is that there are a couple of items which are clearly overpowered at the moment, and they are Sage's Mask and Necrobook. Sage's Mask, it's ridiculous now. There's you will have supports coming into lane with two Sage's Masks and like no other mana region, and they'll just be fine. They'll just spam their spells. One particularly hilarious combination is Witch Doctor with Sage's Mask, because the like conversion rate of mana to health he has, I think, is outpaced with the Sage's Mask regen. So he's just a fountain. And if you pair him with the right lane partner, you can just completely dominate your lane. Not fun. I hate it.
Oh, my God. I haven't thought of that. I was watching, I think we saw it in a game, and then I saw it on, like, some stream of some pro player.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Pudge support just show up with two Sage's Masks and rush a Necro one.
So like the double whammy of the two that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this game?
Yeah. And Necrobook. Do you say Necro? Necronomicon?
I think I said Necro. Necronomicon? Necronomicon? I think I just used them interchangeably.
Okay. Necro. The first time I saw this was on Spectre, actually. It was like a kind of, I want to say like maybe 2 months ago, I was seeing that Spectres would build Necro because it was a great farming item and like just generally good stats. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But then like Spectre herself is already so strong. She has like an incredible base regen at the moment. So she, what used to be like hard laning stages for her now are just like, oh yeah, it's kind of annoying because I'm a melee carry, but it's fine. and then she gets Necrobook and goes to the jungle and gets like her 18 minute Radiance, and she's just fine. Yeah. But then I started seeing it on Sniper, and I was like, okay, this is not okay. Because Sniper was already getting played more as a flex hero in...
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, so... I mean, so there won't be hero changes at the moment, but the fact that multiple cores, but not only cores, like flex cores, are picking it up, to me, indicates that the item is too strong. Because it's no longer a niche thing. It's just like, oh yeah, you just do this because it's good.
Yeah.
So...
how do you think they'll change it?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
I hadn't thought that far. I'm just like holding up my pitchfork and like change this thing, but with no solution in mind.
You have to tack your theses to the door. you gotta have your theses.
Yeah. I mean, it has to just be a rebalance, I think, of cost benefit. So either making the items more expensive or detracting the stats that you get from it. Because at the moment, I think it's just too efficient. So both with Sage's Mask and Necrobook, like what you get for the amount that you have to pay is just disproportionate, and it's just so good. So they can either make it more expensive or bring down the stats. Or maybe both.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, even the like Necro recipe, it's so big.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 1200 or something. And I was playing Beastmaster, who's such a stupid hero. The whole game, I just walked down lanes and fed, but I fed in front of towers, so we won. But, like, I'm like, oh my god, it takes so long to farm up this Necrobook recipe. And then I got it, and I was just like, oh, I am the god of Dota. All the towers and dragon camps fall before me now. Like, how are the little guys so good? They just, like, tear through everything.
And this is the other thing. The units themselves are good, but do you even use the active on the mana guy, the blue guy?
I did once.
Like that, if people use that, it's also so good because he takes away like your entire mana pool and it's super annoying.
And the warrior has a mana burn like passive.
Oh, do they both? I thought it was just the blue guy. Or does the blue guy just slow and then the warrior takes your mana? Maybe?
The blue guy slows. Blue guy might also take mana with the purge. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, it just... you just don't have any mana and you're really slow.
Yes.
And it's like, come on.
Yeah, no, I was going into fights needing, like, a stack of mangoes. Because if I fight up against someone with a necro unit, I'm like, okay, I probably won't have mana, so I'll have, like... 3 mangoes ready to go and like in the fight, and then when I want to use my spells have to use my mangoes. It was ridiculous. And I hate it.
Yeah, and like they're the opposing Lycan, because there's always Lycan.
Yes.
Has his Necrobook, and the support Pudge apparently has a Necrobook, and the mid sniper has a Necrobook, so no one ever has any mana.
Right.
So dumb. I agree with you. I think that's the best change that's coming, hopefully. I will propose one now. I think they're going to change the money you get from kills. A lot of pros and some of the better players I play with have been mentioning that the best thing to do is always just stay in lane and farm and push lanes. That always gets you more than if you go around trying to kill people. Which is weird, because I also hear that like it's a super fighty meta, so I don't really understand that. But assuming that, like, Seb knows more about Dota than I do.
It's a bold assumption.
Yeah. I'm willing to say it, Charlene. I don't care what the PC people say. I think they'll probably give you more kill money, or I hope they don't take creeps away, because then, like, Medusa will never be picked. our listenership cheers, but...
does Medusa build Necrobook?
I'm sure she does now, yeah. You go on Dota buff, it's like Necrobook, 81% win rate. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll up the kill money or something.
Yeah.
Just to keep it from...
for sure, because I think people never really want to watch a meta where it's more beneficial to push than it is to fight.
Which is a shame, because, like, my dream game is... It is like the opposite of what I like. Like, I played a gyro game a while ago, and Nick was coaching, and I had like 10 last hits per minute over the course of the entire game, and more tower damage than hero damage. I was like, yep, this is it. This is my Dota. This is Jim's bell ringing. But I think they should probably nerf it because no one wants to watch me play. I like Viper. No one wants that. So.
You and your Viper Arcana 2020 in Discord.
Yeah, someone was like, "Oh, who'd you vote for the Arcana vote?" I was like, "Oh, I think Silencer." I'm like, "Silencer? Why would you do that?" I was like, "Well, Viper wasn't available." Like, obviously. Do you have any others? How about another one
I
you
do.
Got?
I don't. Okay, don't. Before you even ask me how are they going to do this, I'm going to say I don't know how. But
okay.
I think that they could make the jungle great again, Jim.
Oh.
I think that
this is hats before strats.
This is hats before strats. So, like, maybe in line with making more like pumping some economy into kills rather than lane creeps, they'll also try to open up like alternate sources of economy in the jungle.
Ah,
nice segue.
And that preserves Medusa.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
Yeah, what about you? Okay. Any other predictions?
Yeah, here's one. Okay. This is my hot take.
Okay.
And I don't know how they're going to do it. I think they're going to change the pick order again.
Okay. In all pick or captain's mode or both?
In all pick.
Oh, okay.
Because remember they changed it so you're like simultaneously picking.
Yep.
And while the guaranteed last ban now is Quap because of the Arcana, I think it really supported last pick cheese picks.
It does.
Yeah, like that was like the big debate. Like, what was it going to do that? And then Lycan's like 70% win rate. It sure will. and so things like Lycan, things like Huskar Brood, like these all have these like wild high win rates. Visage, sadly, because Visage is cool. But like, I think they're going to change the pick rate so you don't have that last pick like cheese Rochambeau, going on. Because I think that leads to a lot of the Lycanry that we're seeing. In addition to probably just nerfing Lycan, but that's down the road. So I think they're going to change. I don't know how they're going to do it. Like, you see the other guy's picks in some way? I don't know.
I mean, they might just adopt the captain's mode thing where one team will have first ban. Wait, what is it even in captain's mode? You have first pick or last pick? Is that right?
Yeah.
Or it's first two picks? No.
No, it's 1-2-2-1, 1-2-1-2.
Yeah.
2-1-1-2. Yeah.
I don't know. But
yeah, right. It's A-B-B-A, A-B-A-B-A-B. So A gets first pick, but B gets last pick.
Yeah. Yeah, they might. They'll maybe do something like that.
Maybe. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to do something like that. That's my hot take.
Or maybe
a little bit more. Oh, sorry.
Maybe they'll incorporate a mid-ban phase. Because right now, banning is at the beginning. But maybe to combat the cheese pick towards the end, you'll like go through half of your draft and then you'll be able to ban.
Interesting. That's a good idea, too. Maybe that'll work.
Yeah, because what's hard is for all pick, you don't want like the draft phase to be like 10 minutes.
Forever. Yeah, right. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I wonder.
Anyways.
Or maybe nothing. Yeah. Do you have a major announcement to make?
I do. If you all like hearing us fumble on the internet and not know what we're talking about, well, do we have some great news in store for you. So as Jim mentioned a little while ago, this is episode 294. So we have the big 300 coming up, and for that, we are thinking of having a live episode that will stream and we'll have some video feed. So we do one a week. This will mean that this episode will be on August 9th, the Sunday. Mark your calendars. We're not sure what time yet. We'll confirm that later. But you'll get to see us live sweating on camera, because you don't get to see us sweating here as we're fumbling and trying to figure out what to say. So come and join us for that. Well, I have a game show brewing up that I'm trying to put together for us. And in addition, we'll have like a live Noobs Ask Noobs segment. So we'll interact with you guys in the Discord as we answer them on stream. And yeah, it'll be a good time. August 9th.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Okay, we're running super long here. Should we just head straight over to non-live Noobs Ask Noobs?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Dora the Destroyer asks, I've been really enjoying Clockwork lately. Played with him. It was a lot of fun. It's good.
Nice.
So I'm wondering if there's anything I should watch for that tells me this is a good or bad Clockwork game. Any advice? Also, late game item suggestions. I don't know.
Look out for, obviously, right-click heroes. Like, if you have an Ursa, or if you're against an Ursa, do not pick Clockwork, because he will just enrage off anything and then will just swipe you and you'll be sad. Let's see, anyone? Heroes who have a very high attack speed, you generally will not fare well against. So Ursa is because he can hit so fast. And like, who else is he particularly bad against? Like a Huskar he would be bad against.
Yeah, I think it'd be bad against, like, Lifestealer.
Bad against Lifestealer, yeah. Oh, yeah, so built-in BKBs and attack fast.
Yeah. What's a good Clockwork? Good Clockwork game is Earth Spirit. Or no, Earth Shaker.
Yeah, that's right? A good Clockwork game. Anyone with more cast times to anything, so Tiny would be another good one.
Oh, really?
I think so. Any support heroes who have like slow turn rates or cast animations, like CM and Kiro and Ogre, they all really hate Clockwork.
Oh yeah. Good call.
Any channeled hero actually also doesn't like Clockwork because his hookshot will disable that. So Enigma will not like it. So good Clockwork games are ones where the enemies have like larger cast animations, either for spells or they're just normal right click. Bad ones are where it's the opposite, slash they have magic resistance.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I played a Clockwork game with Dora, and we're up against Enigma and Crystal Maiden.
Oh, that must have been a good one, I hope.
They both bought BKBs, and there was only one Dora.
Oh, no. Not enough Dora.
There was not enough Dora in that game. We lost. We're like, I guess everybody just buy Abyssals?
Yeah.
We lost.
Aw.
It was fun, though. Late game item suggestions. Ags Rapier. That's it.
I actually really like his Ags. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
What is it? Yeah, it gives you bonus movement speed, bonus attack speed. For 8 seconds, and then you stun yourself for 4 seconds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, combos really well with Rapier because it gives you attack speed.
Yes. And then it combos really well with Rapier because then you drop your Rapier inside of, like, cogs for the enemy hero to come and pick up.
Right, and then they hit the cogs, then they're out of mana.
Yes.
And they can't use their abilities. Next question from Yield Raven. Does a null talisman affect Silencer's Glaive Pure damage? And if so, does it become a good item to hold onto as the 3% spell amp is potentially giving you lots more pure damage in late game in terms of actual HP damage?
I
I think it does.
Yeah, my gut answer is yes, but I don't know for sure. Because it's it's int, right? Like the damage is calculated off of stats. Null Talisman just gives you like 9. Is it 9? Or six int, and then like 2 or 3 of the others. So yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing to have a silencer. Mm-hmm. Like, any int core should have lots of null talismans because the stats are good.
Yeah.
And then the 3% thing. I don't know. So if that's spell damage, does, like, Kaya up his glaive's damage?
I don't know. These are good questions.
That could be potentially a lot, because you could be doing a lot of glaive's damage at the end of the game.
This is the epitome of noobs-ass noobs.
Yeah. Perfect question, Raven. Thank you.
We don't know, but we'll just say yes and then continue to play the game incorrectly.
Yeah, that's what we're good at. Next question.
Oh, I love it.
Leaving that there. Yeah, next question. We have a classic from Mr. Fancy Pants. Okay, show hosts. That's my Mr. Fancy Pants impression. I met him in real life.
Yeah.
Contrived Dota reality show time. Let's play the dating game. MTV has paired up Dota couples to go on blind dates together. They've been paired up not for actual compatibility, but for maximum entertainment value for the viewers. Who gets paired up? Where do the dates go horribly awry? Do they meet up at a local park, play trampoline dodgeball, or dinner at a fancy steakhouse? What terrible yet watchable dates would you set up among the Dota cast? No Timbersaw and Treant, because that's just mean.
Aww.
Which I think is a good idea. So have you been marinating on this question for a while?
No, I only just read it.
Oh, very well.
Have you? Do you have something in mind?
Yeah, I don't have anything in mind. I've been thinking about it a little bit. My classic ship in Dota is Bristle Tusk. But I don't know if it would be the best. Like, I have my Bristle Tusk rom-com all mapped out, but I don't necessarily think if it's a dating show. I think Lena is a very good dating show contestant.
She is, yeah.
Because she's, like, so arrogant and mean. She'd make very good reality TV. Who is... Oh, what about this? What about a reality show double date? Lena and Crystal Maiden.
Okay.
Right? And then you got to pick partners that are matched up by the producers to fit the other one, but then they switch it up. So it's like there's lots of discord and stuff on TV. So like Crystal Maiden's dating like Lena's perfect partner. So Crystal Maiden's dating Invoker. Because Invoker's just like Lena.
Okay.
They're both like arrogant and awful and wizards. Because wizardry is big in the dating scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then who's like nice? Is there any here that's like nice and like you'd want to see someone be happy with?
I mean, I always think Clockwork's so nice.
Okay, so maybe Lynn Lena's.
And I can see how she'd be a little bit peeved about dating a short male robot.
Yeah. Right. She'd want like the 80s teen villain Invoker.
Right.
You know, because he's like the alpha. He's like the captain of the water polo team or whatever.
Yes.
And so she would definitely want to date him. So yeah, Crystal Maiden and Invoker, and then Clockwork and Lena. Are they in the same place? Maybe like they go somewhere separate for a while. And like nobody gets along, and the viewer is like, "Oh, come on! If they just changed it, they'd be so perfect for each other." And then they do.
Does anyone want to be with Clockwork though? I don't know if Crystal Maiden would want to be with Clockwork.
Yeah, I mean, man, why not? I don't know. What do you have against Clockwork?
Nothing. I like Clockwork. I like him a lot. I want to be with Clockwork.
Let's unpack the statement.
Because Clockwork is a Crystal Maiden counter, see? So she might not respond well to that.
Yeah, but I mean, they might get along fine, like having lunch.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I like that though.
Yeah, and then there has to be like. I mean, I know like reality TV is all about like strife, generally, mm-hmm. and making viewers angry so they watch the next episode. But maybe everything kind of works out. Like the viewer feels like Invoker and Lena got what they deserved, right? Because they're two mean people together. And then the viewer can be happy that, you know, Crystal Maiden and Clockwork are riding off into the sunset.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I have one.
Ooh. All right.
All right. I don't think this is at all what Fancy Pants was going for, but I'm just really thinking about how you would do this in a movie, and this would have a happy ending. But what if you have Medusa and Faceless Void, and at first... At first, they really dislike each other because they're both like hard carries, and they're greedy, and they have very similar motives. But then they grow to realize how well they complement each other because, well, for one, Medusa can stone gaze, but Void can't look into her stone gaze, so he doesn't get frozen. This yeah. is not canon because in the game that is not true, but in real yeah. life that is what happens. And then they realize how well they synergize because Void can chrono, and then Medusa just like kills everyone. And then they're the perfect team, and they really hit it off, and it's wonderful.
That's so good.
But the beginning, but the early part of their romance is very uncomfortable because they do not get along at all.
Yeah, do you think like hard carries, how that translates, how their thing translates to like living life together? It's like they both have like a lot of stuff, and they both have their ways on how they want to like set up their house.
Right, yeah.
And they both have very strong opinions on like how their lives should be structured, mm-hmm. and they're kind of incompatible at first.
Right.
But then, yeah, she uses her ult, and he's like, "I'm fine." I have no eyes. This works. Maybe this is love.
Maybe. Okay.
Dully Kauschef asks, "Why aren't you guys streaming more often? I want to give you my love in other ways than just throwing money at our face and not listening to the podcast." Thanks for listening, Dully Kauschef.
Thank you.
I also don't listen to the podcast because there's a plague on and I don't have a commute anymore. I suspect a lot of people are like that. But thank you. And we will be streaming August 9th.
We'll be streaming a podcast.
We'll streaming the actual podcast. What will you do?
Oh.
Yeah. It's like the unstoppable force meets the immovable object.
Yeah. Well, he's not actually going to hear our answer because he doesn't listen to the podcast. So maybe...
It's good. He's going to watch it on silent.
Maybe I should. I'll type this response to him.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. And then... last question. We'll go to Juvu here. We'll save the rest because we are going long. Should the next new hero be a high complexity hero like Meepo or a low complexity hero like Lion? I want a high complexity hero because I like high complexity heroes. Mm. And I think Snapfire was low complexity.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Cookie is, like, an amazing ability that allows for awesome plays and synergy and cool stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, Scatterblast and Little Shredder and even Kisses are, like, damage.
That's true. Okay. I guess I can see that. I guess Mortimer's Kisses are harder to land because it's not a point and click. And, like, well, her Scatterblast as well. It's a range thing, so there's potential for you to miss them. So that's true. Why I think okay. she's not as low complexity, whereas with Lines, it's all targeted abilities. So it's more straightforward.
Yeah, you could... Yeah, that makes sense. I understand that argument.
Mm-hmm. I am going to go with the opposite. I would like a low complexity hero who is just, like, way more passives. Like, ultra low complex. Ooh. But a support okay. hero, because I think they have you have like Wraith King, right, who's the
yeah
the mindless low complexity carry hero, but I don't think you have one who's a support.
That's true. I don't think you do.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. It's a mindless low complexity support.
Mm-hmm. It would just be auras, I think.
Yeah, Omni is a mindless low complexity support because you're never close enough to use any visibility, so you actually don't use them.
Zing. Got him.
It was, yeah, Cowbell played Omni in a game. He's like, oh, I really want to play Omni. I'm like, all right, that's cool. And at the end of the game, he's like, yeah, he doesn't do anything, does he? I was like, yeah, that was not, that didn't look fun. So it wasn't fun. Yeah, no knock on Cowbell here. It was just weird.
No, Omni is just a strange hero.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a long episode. Lots of jokes. Lots of serious talk.
Good balance.
Lots of editing for Bob. You're welcome. We will see you next week, listeners. Check us out. WeLikeDota.com. Follow the links to the Patreon if you'd like to become a patron. You can also find lots of other stuff there. Come to our Discord. Also linked from WeLikeDota.com. Great discussion on everything. We are incredibly excited about swimming in Animal Planet New Horizons.
Animal Planet.
Animal Planet New Horizons. Animal Crossing. Is it New Horizons at least?
It is.
Okay. I got half of it. and everything else. Lots of stuff. Lots of talk about Dota.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in.
Come join us. Yes, and August 9th.
August 9th.
Put it on your calendars. The live show.
Yes.
We can't be in person, but we'll be on Twitch. Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye, Charlene.
Bye, Jim. Later, nerds.